Let's first take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN News presented by Progressive Insurance. You guys and all of our guests can hang out with us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. I'm Jason Fitz, taking your thoughts on the NFL and how surprised you are by the NFL's lack of plan. We've seen over the weekend NFL players bonding together and using their social media voice, something we have seen rarely in the NFL and something that seemed very calculated by the players. A moment that was sort of eye-opening for me is no matter what your favorite team is, no matter who your favorite player is, you saw them going to social media with the hashtag we want to play and with information about what they're not comfortable with as we reach the final moments before the beginning of training camp and we try and figure out exactly what it's going to look like for players and for the owner. So I want your thoughts on a 888-729-3776 as players are fighting for things like daily testing and players are fighting for details on how health and safety is going to be handled. And players, frankly, reminded you over the course of the weekend that many star players have reasons they may not be comfortable, whether it's an immune-compromised family situation or whether it's their own comfort in the situation. Remember, players are trying to figure out exactly what to do if they're not comfortable playing. Let's get to some Straight Talk. Straight brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And I'll say it again. For me, it's all about how do we get football back? And if we don't get football, who do we blame? I mean, these are the questions that we asked about Major League Baseball. When Major League Baseball had very public arguments about money with players, it became who bears the brunt of the responsibility to get action back on the field. When we are talking about basic tenets like health and safety, I mean, that to me is stunning. You heard last hour, and if you were watching on TV, you may have heard it. Mike Golic Jr. referenced something when I was working on Golic and Wingo over the last couple of weeks about the NBA and how crazy it is that their plan is so detailed that Zion Williamson having to leave the bubble on a moment's notice activated a plan of action, a group of frequency and testing and what's going to happen next. And the NBA has a very clear, you know, choose your own adventure, turn to page 62, this is what we do. I mean, it's a reminder of how well thought out the plan is. So to reach this hour and not have something as basic as testing decided upon is significant to me. And the knowledge, the realization, as we've heard the players openly speaking about, that the NFL and the NFL Players Association together decided what this group of health experts was going to look like. I mean, that absolutely, if you've got a group of health experts that have been collectively bargained and those health experts are telling you how these situations should be handled and either side isn't then listening to those health experts, I have a problem with it. I mean, at that point, to me, it becomes what did you collectively bargain if you aren't going to take that advice? And that is reason that you could see players not playing. Again, Sam Acho, NFL Players Association Executive Committee member, was on Sunday morning ESPN Radio. He talked about what could cause players not to come to play.
The recommendations for some of the rookies and also some of the players is to report, right? The rookies and injured players are allowed to report. Teams are allowed to have, I believe it's no more than 20 players at their facility
right
as of now. But as of now, we have a week until all the other 90 guys are supposed to report. And so as of now, we're telling players, get ready and stay ready. But if the NFL doesn't come up with these plans, you cannot show up. Their obligation is to provide a safe working environment for the players. That's their obligation. And so if they don't do that, then we can't play. It's as simple as that. And so if the owners don't provide, there's something called an EIDR plan, pretty much a return to work protocol. Systems in place that tell you what will happen if an outbreak occurs and what steps do we take. They don't have that in place. We've talked about it, but they haven't agreed to it. And so what will happen is if the owners don't provide a safe working environment, players aren't going to be able to play.
That's some Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart. And I feel it's important to stress that players are human beings. And I feel it's important to stress that because I've already seen several tweets coming to me from people that are working every day. And, you know, there are people on this show that, you know, I'm lucky. And let me be the first to say that very loudly. I'm lucky that I can sit in front of a microphone that's connected into a box and I can be at my house and I can be distanced from everybody and I can do radio every single day. It's an incredible, incredible fortune that I have that I'm able to do my job every single day. That being said, there are guys that work on this show behind the scenes that have been putting themselves at risk every single day to go to campus. And they do that because that's what you have to do to pay your bills. I understand that. I understand that there are a lot of you listening that are, you know, whether it's because you work every single day hard and in retail and you work every single day in a way that you can't actually take time off. I understand how difficult that is for so many of us. I mean, it's real to look around and say, well, I'm going to work. I'm putting myself at risk. That's fine. I'm not going to penalize somebody just because they're rich. Now, understand that there are a group of NFL players like Russell Wilson that have gone to Twitter and said, hey, I may not be comfortable. There are immune issues within my family, immune compromised issues that may not make me comfortable. When we had Damian Woody on last month, I asked him if he was playing today, would he play in the NFL this year with COVID-19? And he said flatly no. There are issues in his family health. Well, just because he's been afforded the opportunity where he doesn't have to go to work doesn't mean I have to hate on him. He's a human being. He's a human being where if he doesn't have to go to work, if a player doesn't have to work and they're not comfortable working, I have total respect for that. My question is, when you look across the board, is everybody doing everything they can to make sure that people are as safe as possible? I mean, that's what we're really asking people to do, no matter where you work. Is ESPN doing everything they can to make sure that when Connor goes into work on this show, that he's safe? I believe that the answer to that is yes. They've done everything they possibly can do. Are your employers doing everything they can possibly do? Well, imagine if your employers sat down with you, a group of employees, and said, what do you guys need to be comfortable? Well, let's come up with a panel of experts that can decide that. Okay, great. We agree upon some experts. Those agreed upon experts sit down and say, well, one of the keys is going to be daily testing. And then your boss comes in and says, no, not willing to do that. How would you feel? I understand it's easy to say millionaires and billionaires when so many people right now are worried about how they're going to feed their families. But if the agreed upon experts aren't willing to, or if the owners, I should say, aren't willing to take the advice from their agreed upon experts, why the hell should the players go to work? I mean, that's why they collectively bargain this stuff. Brian, in New York, what's your take on the NFL and where we are at this point?
Well, I mean, honestly, I just want to say I agree with you that it's crazy that they haven't figured this whole thing out yet, being that we're so close to camp. And it goes without saying, player safety is the main concern, and obviously team safety. So I don't want my question or topic to come off as insensitive. It's just meant to be kind of like a side discussion that I haven't heard talked about. But from a fantasy football perspective, how can I go to my friends and family and stuff like that and ask them to start the season and put money down and what have you when losing a player to COVID is just as much a possibility now as the normal injury risks?
You make a great point on that. And, you know, and look, you're right. There are obviously bigger things. We've been discussing those bigger things, but you're totally fair in bringing up this sidebar conversation that I think is valid because it doesn't just affect fantasy football. It also affects gambling in a very real way. I mean, how is Vegas realistically going to be able to take lines on games this year when we have no idea if there's going to be testing the night before? You have no idea what that moment can look like. I remember what it felt like the day of the Super Bowl to wake up and find out that Barrett Robbins had gone AWOL for much different reasons, we understand, and how much losing a center affected the Super Bowl for my beloved Raiders against the Buccaneers. I remember waking up that morning thinking, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. Well, what are you going to do if you're a casino and you've taken all of these odds on Brady versus Breeze only to wake up, God forbid, and find out that one of those quarterbacks isn't going to be playing or that an entire offensive line isn't going to be eligible? I mean, these are the things, as much as they are socially distancing, and I understand they're doing everything they can, if you've got a position group that's in a room and they're together every day watching film, oh my God, what are you going to do if you're placing bets on it? What are you going to do if you've got a fantasy league? These are real things that I don't think have any answers. Frankly, I, for one, as a fantasy football player this fall, would genuinely consider taking the year off because I don't know how you manage through this year when you don't know what you're going to get every single Sunday morning when you wake up. And that's also why I don't understand how Vegas is going to function through all of this. I don't understand if you're a gambler or if you're a fantasy football player, how you can possibly look around and feel like there's going to be a safe outcome. It's First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio. We'll keep taking your take. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. It's not the only NFL conversation happening over the course of the weekend, though. There's obviously another large conversation, one that we had substantially on Golic and Wingo over the course of last week, about everything that's going wrong with the Washington football team. Now, we all know about the name change, and that's something that we've talked a lot about. And then we get the Washington Post article that outlines 15 female employees that allege sexual misconduct and harassment and everything that was going on within the building. I've done a few phoners with that since then with some different radio stations across the country. And one of the most common questions I've been asked is Dan Snyder going to be forced to sell? Well, guys, you know, as much as I would love to be able to come in with a clear-cut answer, I don't think there's a clear-cut situation here because nothing in the reporting links directly to Dan Snyder saying things. Does it link directly to a terrible culture being created? Yes. But is there just enough plausible deniability that he can say, I didn't know? Certainly feels like it to me. So while he may be a terrible owner, while he may not be running a smart or good franchise, I'm not sure that there's enough direct link in any of this to force the other owners in the NFL to look around and say, Snyder, you've got to go. I want to get some expertise on it, though. So for that, we're joined now on the Shell Penzoa Performance Line by Washington Post columnist Jerry Brewer. Joins us. Jerry, thanks for the time. I hope you and yours are safe, first and foremost. So you obviously just heard my thoughts on Dan Snyder. But for anyone that comes in and says Snyder should be forced to sell, how would you react to that?
Well, I think that logically, you're absolutely right. I think you're reading the situation right. You know, for those of us who have, you know, understand sports, have been around sports, that's the way this is going to go. I mean, it's already transparent that that's the way that the NFL is thinking about it. It'll likely result in a fine if Daniel Snyder does all the right things that kind of appeases the NFL and nothing new comes out. There's a what's going to happen and how you analyze that situation. But then there's also a should. I think in a more ideal world, Daniel Snyder his ownership would be on the line. It's unfortunate that it's not. But yes, you're reading the situation properly.
Well, and Jerry, let me stress, you're saying the right thing there, and the correct thing. Let me say it that way. Do I believe that this should be enough for Dan Snyder to be forced to sell his team? I personally believe that. Do I believe it will be enough? I personally don't believe that. So you just said in your answer something about Daniel Snyder coming out and doing all the right things. And I think it raises a question I haven't heard yet, and I'd love some thoughts on. What would it take for Daniel Snyder to actually accomplish a clean slate where everybody can look at it and say, hey, this is a changed organization, and he's going to do the right things?
Well, for one, I think you need to reach out to some people who can help you. You know, in this case, I think Roger Goodell and the NFL League Office, and you need to, as you identify what's wrong with your culture. And obviously, you've gone out and you've hired Beth Wilkinson and her firm to investigate this. First of all, you need to empower her to do a true investigation. And it better not be something that comes back 6 weeks from now, 8 weeks from now, and all of a sudden you have this definitive thing. If you kind of remember the NFL's evaluation of the Jerry Richardson case, I believe that took 7 months for them to do this thorough investigation. That was, while it was within the walls of the NFL, it was independent of the Carolina Panthers. This one is not independent of the Washington franchise. So that is problematic. But, however, let's say that you've actually empowered the investigation where they can really get to the bottom of it and cite it. Then, you know, what the Wilkinson firm finds out, you have to be transparent in those findings. Just let it all get out. And then you have to be humble about how you're going to systematically solve it. You can't go out and hire a bunch of people that you already know or a bunch of people who are your buddies. I mean, I think that one thing, a full revamping of this organization has to happen, because right now, they've already fired a bunch of people, and they fired Bruce Allen, the former team president, for reasons other than this. And right now, all you have is an owner who's essentially an absentee owner this summer. And you've got your head coach, your new head coach, who hasn't coached a game yet, in Ron Rivera, kind of serving as this de facto president, in addition to being the new head coach trying to get his team ready. They just made a hire for an executive vice president in Terry Bateman, which they announced today, who is someone who has been affiliated with Daniel Snyder for a long time. And he's going to be kind of in charge of strategic marketing and those sort of things. But I think they need a new outside team president who is empowered to create a structure that has an incredible amount of integrity. And you just get rid of any remaining people who are associated with the way things used to be. I think there's still, while the house has been cleaned a fair amount throughout this process and throughout the past year or so, I think there's still more cleaning that needs to be done in the organization. And I think that, in addition to having people from the outside come in, there has to be a diversity to it, you know, in terms of people of color, in terms of women being in prominent positions. All of those things are things that Daniel Snyder can do to show that he has the intention of getting this right. Now, it's a little bit different. You can't compare the two organizations because the Dallas Mavericks are one of the best organizations in the NBA versus the Washington franchise, which is one of the worst organizations in sports. However, if you just want to look at it in terms of how Mark Cuban, the humility he had in reacting to the accusation with the Mavericks and all that he has done and donating money, trying to get better, trying to clean things up, Daniel Snyder has to have his own version of the way that Mark Cuban handled it.
Talking to Washington Post columnist Jerry Brewer on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. And, you know, I think it's interesting, Jerry, you make the Mavericks comparison. And one thing that really stood out to me wasn't just that Mark Cuban addressed the issue with such humility. It's also that Mark Cuban, over the process of the last several years, became sort of this beloved owner. I mean, Shark Tank made him so lovable to so many people, and, you know, watching the way he is his games. I mean, there seems to be pop culture loves Mark Cuban. Pop culture does not love Dan Snyder. So isn't it fair to think that no matter what Dan Snyder has done, he'd have to do 100 times what Cuban did because he's already started behind the eight ball fairly reasonably so?
You're right. And maybe 100 times is too small of a multiplier. Maybe it's 1,000 times more. You're right. I mean, Cuban, you know, we found out that his organization was not as grand as it was being presented, obviously. But he does have the credibility of they've been a winning, sustainable franchise, a franchise that under his direction, which has lasted almost as long as Daniel Snyder has been in charge of the Redskins. They've just totally changed the entire way that the Dallas Mavericks are perceived. And so there's some credibility there. I don't think you've ever had just mass groups of players saying that he didn't treat us right. And in general, and there has been some continuity in that organization as well that kind of speaks to it has been for at least a group of people a good place to work. So I think, you know, he comes at it when you want to do that comparison, there's just a lot more equity that he has into the respect of people. And he's also, I mean, as a personality, he's interesting. He's more relatable than any billionaire that we know. I mean, most of these billionaires we don't know. They're rather eccentric. They don't like talking, or when they do talk, it's just this incredibly arrogant way of speaking that turns us off. There's sort of an everyman aspect to Mark Cuban from the t-shirts that he wears and all of these things. So yeah, there's a difference there. However, I think that the model that you find is just, you got to be more transparent, and you have to follow the best practices in the rest of sports in the way that you run your organization. You just cannot have a bunch of yes men who are willing to be fall guys for you. And you can't have this attitude when your house is burning that everything is fine. We're not that far from Bruce Allen saying that they got a damn good culture. We're not that far from Bruce Allen before that saying we're winning off the field. Now those words from your former team president seem awfully embarrassing and very much speaks to the fact that you have no idea what the truth is, that you are just in some weird bubble and you've got no clue how you're being perceived, and you've got no clue exactly what is going on and the toxicity that you have inspired in your organization.
I'm talking to Washington Post columnist Jerry Brewer. Real quick, Jerry, before we let you go, you mentioned earlier the Terry Bateman hiring, and he's been hired to oversee business operations, going to be part of the attempt to rename this and rebrand the franchise. Does it feel like this is an opportunity lost by hiring somebody that's already been around him for years, that was part of his network before he didn't go outside? I mean, does this speak to Snyder not being aware of the public perception around him?
I think it does speak to that. However, you know, I'm a big believer that you give everyone who hasn't done anything wrong a chance. And so you give him the opportunity to prove you wrong, but there just is this feeling that if you're that connected to Dan Snyder, you're tarnished in some way. You're just as dirty as anyone else. So yeah, there is some concern there when you had the opportunity to really go out and make a statement with a hire. Instead, this hire seems like, at least on the surface, more of the same.
You guys can read him on the Washington Post, obviously. Jerry Brewer, thank you so much for the time and the expertise around the organization. Really appreciate you coming on with us today.
Anytime. I appreciate you.
It's great stuff from Jerry with a little bit of perspective about sort of the things that Dan Snyder, and this is the real question that I'm going to continue to ask, is what can Dan Snyder do at this point to get back to level ground, to get back to ground zero, to get back to some spot where he can say, hey, I've changed, this organization's changed, and we're going to do things differently. And I think Jerry makes a great point that it's going to be about hiring practices largely. And so far, in the middle of all of this, we've seen one hire, and that one hire doesn't speak to any new change coming in the way the business is being done in Washington. Coming up, there is change for the Toronto Blue Jays. They were denied permission to play in Canada. So where should they play this season? We'll get an answer from an expert. First, take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. You guys can chime in, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We've been having a lot of great discussions so far today about the NFL and their battle with the NFL Players Association, their negotiation, I should say, as we get down to the 11th hour trying to figure out if and when there will be training camp and what it will mean moving forward. So we'll continue that. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Don't forget to tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast. Get you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters. Presented by Marathon. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily. Available wherever you enjoy your podcast. If you haven't listened in a while, go check it out. As Pablo Torre has taken over for Mina Kimes, one of the many changes coming. If you haven't seen the changes that were announced, we've only got a couple weeks left in this show, and unfortunately, that'll be the end of my run with you in the afternoons, but you can still check it out and hang out with me. I'm rejoining Sarah Spain, so Spain and Fitz will come back starting August 17th. You can check us out 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio. Wherever you listen to your ESPN, you'll get to hear Sarah and I come together. So I won't be in the afternoon with you, won't be on TV with you, but we'll be hanging out with Sarah in something I'm really excited for. So don't forget to get out there and check us out. Speaking of things you should be excited for, Major League Baseball on the cusp of coming back. Obviously, we get Thursday night, the beginning of the Major League Baseball season, the sprint, as we're going to call it. Yankees at Nationals, and you can hear that on ESPN Radio. Coverage starts at 6 p.m. Eastern. So Yankees, Nationals, 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio. Don't forget it. Now, obviously, there's other complications, as we know that Canada is not going to allow the Blue Jays to play baseball in Toronto. So let's head over to the Shell Penzo Performance Line, where we're joined by Jeff Passan. Jeff, I appreciate you taking the time today. All eyes on Toronto and Canada, whether or not the Blue Jays will be able to play. We know the answer to that. So now that we know they can't play in Canada, what's next for the Blue Jays as an organization?
Jason, they're trying to figure that out themselves right now. And it's sort of the confusing part of all this. We're a few days away from opening day. They are fewer than 10 days away from their home opener. And they still don't know where they're going to play. There are a few options and possibilities here. They could go to their AAA affiliate in Buffalo, but the stadium's not quite up to the standard that they'd like. They could go down to Dunedin, Florida, where their spring training complex is, but it's in Florida. And right now, it's not a place where a lot of people want to go because of the coronavirus. And so they're looking at other major league parks in the Northeast area and trying to figure out if any of them match up schedule-wise and could be feasible options to host them for this season. And I don't know, maybe we see the Pittsburgh Blue Jays, maybe we see the Baltimore Blue Jays. There are a lot of different possibilities if they do want to go for that major league park.
Well, Twitter was at least entertaining for once over the weekend, Jeff, with a lot of cities coming out and really, you know, subtly or not so subtly tweeting their support. I mean, the Yard Goats in Hartford tweeted out just a picture of a Blue Jay. So how viable is it for a AAA park that happens to be new and beautiful to host the Blue Jays? Should that be an option?
Can we just talk about something for a second that's sort of tangentially related? Have you ever seen a Blue Jay, like, not like a Toronto Blue Jay, but an actual Blue Jay, like, live and in action?
No.
They're terrible birds. They are, like, horrible. Like, they're like the, like, if there were bird jail, it would be filled with Blue Jays. They're mean, they're nasty, they assault, like, they're bad birds. Every time I hear Blue Jay in a non-Toronto Blue Jay sense, I just get bad feelings about it. So I'm sorry, when you were bringing up the Blue Jays being elsewhere, I started picturing one in my backyard and got very angry, because they're terrible birds, man, I'm telling you. I don't even remember the question at this point. I'm on tilt because, well, Blue Jays are turds.
Look, I'll go backyards, right? Like, I live in Connecticut and I have a lot of ties to Nashville. I saw both of those places tweeting out reference to why the Blue Jays should play in their respective cities. Is there some value to, if you've got a new beautiful AAA facility, and especially if you might be on the list of teams interested in expansion for Major League Baseball, is there something that could be done here that would actually be a benefit to everybody?
I mean, theoretically, but I think in the end, what's more important is for the Blue Jays to placate their players and to be in a place that looks as big league as possible. And I think they want major league cities. And listen, Nashville's a major league city. Hartford, meh, I don't know if Hartford's a major league city. I love Hartford. I have to. Part of being an ESPN employee, Hartford's not a big league city, though. Manchester, New Hampshire, not a big league city. Buffalo's big league-ish. Buffalo's got a couple of major sports teams there. They've got the NFL. They've got the NHL. Dunedin, Florida, definitely not big league. Definitely not big league. I don't know if have you spent any time in Dunedin?
Not much. Like, Florida itself is a place I've been to a bunch of times, but I don't know, like, I wouldn't know one city from the next in there. When you're touring in those places, you're just in and out, Jeff. Like, they all sort of look the same. They all got beautiful beach, and they're all kind of weird.
All right, fair enough.
We're talking to Jeff Passon, ESPN. Yeah, I'm going to get off Twitter for the rest of the day. Florida Twitter is going to hate me for the rest of the day. Okay, so now that we're starting to inch closer and it looks like everything's happening, and we actually had some Major League Baseball action over the weekend, what stood out to you as you saw players starting to get back at it?
Like, oh my God, this is actually happening? Like, oh, I'm going to be driving to Kauffman Stadium on Monday to watch the Royals play the Astros? Like, I'm going to be in Washington, D.C. on Wednesday and Thursday to see the Yankees and Nationals, see Max Scherzer and Gerrit Cole, the actual games that count starting up. And after months and months of consternation, of fighting, of really, in hindsight, ridiculousness, this thing's actually getting off the ground. And it's getting off the ground, shockingly, at maybe the worst time so far in the country, just in terms of the number of cases. We were all talking about flattening the curve. The curve's gone in the opposite direction, and I think so much of this was theoretically contingent on the coronavirus being in check. And it is decidedly not in check at this point, which makes MLB's ability to pull this off even more surprising. And frankly, I think even more of a long shot, like, that they got to this point is a testament, I think, to what the players in particular have been able to do, and their willingness to wear masks inside and not to go out and to be responsible. But beyond that, they can only do so much. This ultimately, Jason, is going to come down to health officials and politicians. And if at any point what's happened in Toronto happens elsewhere, and you have multiple cities shutting things down and saying, no, there's going to be no baseball here, no, people can't travel in from these particular states, you're going to find it difficult for baseball to continue then. So the hope inside the sport right now is that the country does have some kind of a recovery or flatten the curve some, because that is the key to baseball being played for 60 games and into October.
Jeff, you know, there's a lot we can control, a lot we can't control. One thing I know is that you've always been gracious coming on. This show only has a few weeks left before, obviously, the radio lineup is reimagined. So as I go down to 7 p.m. To work with Sarah Spain, I hope you'll be coming on with us there. In the meantime, I just want to take a second and say thanks. You've always returned our calls, and it hasn't always been fun to talk about baseball for you, but you've always been gracious and willing to do that. I can't tell you how much it means and how much I appreciate you, my friend. Thanks for coming on.
Well, it's always fun to talk with you, Jason. Sarah, on the other hand, you know.
Yeah. We can only do it. You know what? I'll be there, so I'll make sure it's bright and light. And by the way, she can kick both of our butts. So if there's anything I know is that we are now both on the list, and I blame you. Thank you so much. Jeff, stay safe, my friend. Thanks for hanging out with me.
All right, pal. Take care.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you get in on the fun. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils, always fun. They're made from natural gas. Get you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. We've gotten to the last leg here, the 11th hour. There's no plan yet between the NFL and the NFL Players Association, just what is now becoming very public negotiations after months of private negotiation. What's your thoughts on it? What's your take on it? I want your take. Charles in California, what's your take on the situation with the NFL and the players right now?
Okay, number one, I'm going to enlighten your day. I'm a former Raider player, and I would like to give my name, but unfortunately at this time I'm not going to do that. I've been in the league and played and got a chip with the Raiders for 10 years. I got a son that's in the league right now that's been in the league over 5 years. As an athlete and in society, I would not be playing. And you know why? Because they can't guarantee my health or my son's health at playing. Going to a bubble is not going to alleviate the situation at all. Bottom line is the United States economy, the leadership of the country, is doomed. I would not be putting myself as an athlete at playing. Now, I hear people calling your show, Adam Morton and Christian and all of them. I don't have any respect for them as announcers. Tell you why. As a player, number one is the owners are only concerned about the money versus health. When you die, it will be, as they say in that business, business as usual. They will move on. They will continue to play ball. I'm concerned about my son's health right now. They cannot give me or him or any other athlete. And I've talked to several marquee athletes in the NFL that I work out with every morning at SC that don't want to play. If these guys speak up, let me finish this and be very, very clear. People that call your show any other are outsiders. They're not insiders like myself. They have no idea what goes on in these type of negotiations at all. Without the players building the stadiums and you don't have fans, there will be no revenue. The owners lose big money because the players are paying for their homes, their mansions, and those yachts. And I can name several owners that do that. Number two is, you had a guy that called in and says, family. Off the field, my son and my, we're family, we're dads, we have families. So it's the same. So a guy says, well, we go to the store with masks. Well, we have to go to practices with masks. There's a difference and same difference in both categories. You could catch this from somebody and not know who gave it to you. The problem is they're more concerned about the dollar than the health. That's the real issue. All this dialogue, we can do this, you can do that. Number one is there is a lady from Hong Kong, Google this, Dr. Ying Chang is her name, who has the cure from the virus, who left Hong Kong because she was fearful of her life, that's in the United States. Bottom line is, man, if anybody plays right now, you are a fool to be out there because you're putting your life at risk. You don't have a cure. One more thing, I'm going to let you go. Magic Johnson, who's a good friend of mine, better known as anybody as Buck, when he contracted HIV, they hurry up and got a cure. Why can't you do the same thing for here?
All right, Charles, thanks for your take on it. And look, if you're a former Raider, I probably rooted for you. Some of what you said, let me say this, I don't have an issue with when it comes to the concept that it's about money and not safety. But it's always been about money and not safety. I mean, you can look no further than the head injuries and the way the NFL handled that. The NFL doesn't care about player safety. They never have. And frankly, I'm not sure most fans care about player safety. That's where you and I disagree, Charles. Unfortunately, and I'm not saying this is the way it should be. I'm saying, unfortunately, this is the way it is. As long as there are players out on the field that are wearing the jersey of most people's favorite teams, they're going to watch. And they're not going to sit there and think, oh, man, is my favorite team's middle linebacker putting himself at risk today? They're going to sit there and say, oh, who's my backup linebacker? I mean, worst case scenarios, God forbid a player contracts COVID-19, right? And through all of that, will fans watching the game really be screaming about that? Or will they eventually simply turn around and say, oh, my God, who's next up?